Morning and welcome to 101.9, your favorite station, Chai FM. The time is now 9:10, and we're here at Air Condition Studio. And this beautiful Thursday morning, just before Pesach or Easter, and we're going to talk about Ha and Da. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about a little bit of finances. We're going to talk a little bit about what we think is going to happen in our up and down South Africa. I don't know how you call it. Turmoil South Africa.
Where's the up?
Where's the up? That's another good question. Yeah, you're right.
Would you describe it as a yo-yo? You know yo-yo?
Yeah, yo-yo goes up and down, like Liel says. Goes up and down. We are going down and down. So I don't know if yo-yo can work. But yeah, you can call it yo-yo or hoo-ha or whatever you want to call it. I'll tell you something. Our telephone numbers are 061. Our WhatsApp numbers are 061-895-119. SMSs will cost you a rand 50, 34519. Please join our conversation here at Chai FM. And who do we have here at the studio? We've got with us our Swiss watch and diamond expert, Liel Rimon. How are you doing, Liel?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Watched soccer last night.
Phew. Oh, nice, huh?
Liverpool was cruising.
Cruising. At the beginning, I thought, you know, there was just doubt that they had a plan.
But it looked like it's going to be a tough game in the beginning. And we just cruised because Porto is not good enough for the last
They couldn't keep the pressure.
Yeah.
They couldn't keep the pressure for long enough.
And they're not finishing.
They don't have any finishes.
Even in the first game, they had a couple of good chances. They don't have finishes. They're not finishing.
We couldn't make the same mistakes with City, eh?
But that was the... See, that's the difference. But the other game, Moshe's Tottenham, gave a great game, and it was.
They still lost.
They still lost, and they were amazing.
Did they lose or three? What was it?
4-3. They lost.
4-3. They did lose. They did lose, and they won the aggregate.
The away goals. Yeah.
The away goals. Yeah.
So they really did great, and more than the soccer, it was a real drama. Listen, in the 93rd, 94th minute, Manchester City scored a goal that will see them through to the semi-final.
Canceled.
And then they went to the VAR, and yeah, I'm watching in the morning videos on Facebook of Manchester City's fans, and you see them in the last minute from the goal, how they excited, and then it's horrible.
VAR is amazing. I've seen even Salah's goal. I mean, only on VAR he could see that it wasn't offside. But without VAR, if you want to judge yourself,
not Salah, Mane's
goal. Yeah. Sorry, yeah,
Mane's goal. Yes,
you would say it's
you
like
can't, you can't see.
Yeah, you would never see.
You really can't see. So think how hard is the lineman job to see these things and to be
it's
in
amazing,
the right line.
It's but at least now you got to know, apparently, that there's what you see and what the referee, the sitting
called,
referee will see, the VAR referee.
It's called the angle.
Yeah, no, they've got the whole place marked with lines, which we cannot see.
Yes, but that's on offside, but on other things, like a handball. If the referee sees it from one angle, it looks like he didn't touch the ball.
Yeah,
and he can run it in his mind for 10,000 times. He said it will never touch the hand. And then they see it from another angle, and you see that he did.
Let me tell you about penalties, for instance. Apparently, they say on VAR, every little tackle, you know, when you do it on slow motion, it all looks a penalty. It all looks bad. Slow motion is bad.
Roy. Sorry, aren't they introducing this into the Premiership next year?
Yeah, they are.
So it's going to be interesting.
They're definitely introducing it into the
English Premiership.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm not a great fan of the VAR, I have to admit, but it does have its advantages, definitely.
You know, it cuts argument from one hand. From the other hand, you know what? I just came back from the UK, and I can tell you that most of the pub pubs discussion is what it was and why they think. I mean, the so fans think that they've been.
Now they're talking about something else. How you interpret. What you saw in the VAR.
And you know what? This, and they will say, this referee of the VAR, he hates Liverpool. You know that one. So let me tell you, I was there when the Tottenham game was played, and as the referee went up, immediately the fans were saying, oh, this one hates Liverpool. I mean, that's, you went, Yeah, I think it does, but. Oh, we've got with us as well, Peter Feldman, our blogger and South Africa's best movie critic. So, how was the last night movie?
It was nice. It was fun. It was light. It was frothy. It's about a woman who's a real, real terrible boss. One of those horrible bosses. She screams and she performs.
I don't know a woman which will be a good boss, but alright, yeah.
She was really bad and, she confronts a little girl who sells donuts, and the little girl says to her, the little girl's got a wand and points it at this horrible person and says, I wish you were a little girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the next morning she wakes up and she's 13 years old, this horrible boss.
Okay.
And she's got to live life through the eyes of a little girl.
Who is the
Regina Hall plays,
the boss, the horrible boss.
Yes. She's actually very good. She drives an amazing car. She lives in an apartment in Atlanta. Fantastic. And it's a very tech age. So she talks to things and they happen. She says, lights off, music on, bed turn.
It's not a big deal. I mean, today got Alexa and Google thing.
And she's developed her own. It's called Home Girl. So, it was fun. It's not the greatest movie, but there's so many similar ones. As Liel mentioned early on, there's 17 again. There's Big, you know, these movies where you go back in time and become little again. And relive your life. And
you know what the joke is? I mean, many times, I'm sure all of us were thinking, closing our eyes, saying, oh, I wish I would go back to the age of, in my case, 30. Oh, no, my case, just before I broke the glass and said, anyway. Yeah. Say again?
30?
No. In my case, like 22.
Really?
But yeah.
How old were you when you got married, Roy?
22 and a half.
Gee, was young, eh?
So I'm,
I mean, you I can calculate. I'm married for 34 years. I mean, you can calculate.
I got to my prime when I was like 14.
Your prime?
Prime.
From there, you just went.
He was
down.
Prime.
He was yes, prime in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, yes.
What?
In a lot of ways, yes.
In a lot of ways?
Yeah, I'm not going to elaborate on the
radio. No, I don't.
But in a lot of ways, yes, definitely. That was my prime. It's,
really?
I will go back to high school today without blinking.
You would?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's but with the same with the same brain you got today. I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean, if you go without, clueless like before, I make the same mistakes. I mean, I'm thinking.
I did great mistakes.
Really?
I enjoyed everything.
So you want to do, you want to redo the
I want to redo them and
yeah, but you don't even know, when you leave the moment, don't even know it's such a great moment.
Of course, but when I look at it now, I said, look what I did then.
Yeah, but you would never, you'll never think about it again. That's the problem. You'll never think about it again. You'll never you wanna come back with the same brains you got today. I mean, you wanna come back there. And when they'll invent a machine like this, oh my brother.
Back to the future, right?
Or the Englishman says, oh my brother.
Doesn't it depend on what part of England you're in?
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Different accents. We spoke
it's
about
basically
it
what street are you in London?
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. You know, we're driving around Chester, which is
beautiful, Chester.
It's really beautiful. So we're driving around Chester and he says to me, the pony I was with, said to me, you know, when you cross the river, this is Welsh. And they're stupid. And they're completely stupid people. They're dirty, they're stupid.
It's like 100 meters.
Yeah, 100 meters. They hate each other. But what happened to a Welshman? Can he live in your neighborhood? So he can buy a house here. So he becomes clever.
Yes.
He didn't have much answers to that.
He changed the accent. Yeah.
We also have with us, I mean, he sits on the corner here, but he's a Tottenham supporter, Mr. Moshe, how are you, Moshe? Starogat.
Good day, good morning, very nice. Very
I'm sure a very good morning for Mauricio Pochettino. I mean, I'm sure he's very, very happy.
Yeah. No, it was nice. It was very nice. Although,
Tottenham, talk to the microphone, Sunshine.
Tottenham didn't come to win. I think they came.
Well, they didn't win. They lose. They lost. But
No. But. Because they had one goal you know, advantage. But yeah, they didn't come to, I mean, they came just to draw, just to go through, and succeeded.
They made it. But you, Moshe, you complaining the whole season about money and investment in your team in Tottenham and whatever. To get to the semifinals of Champions League, Roy, how much it's worth?
About 80 million or 70 yeah. million. I don't know. It's quite a few millions.
And Tottenham this time yeah. didn't buy one player.
But not one player, left them neither. So it's not the buying only. When players don't leave you as well, it makes off a big team.
No, because you substitute, you sell and you buy.
Yeah, but they didn't bought a lot of players
because they lost money.
Because they were building of the stadium. They built the stadium for the last 2 years.
Yeah,
building a stadium makes, apparently it's the most beautiful stadium ever, but it's the newest stadium ever. So they built it from scratch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Phew, amazing.
This one and the second one gonna be, by the way, the Wanda, the new one in Madrid, the one that Atletico Madrid are playing.
Oh.
Also open this year, and the final of the Champions League gonna be in the Wanda.
So where's the final? In Madrid?
Final is in Madrid in June.
Oh, amazing, amazing.
Now, I was going to say, when you buy new players, you've got to be make sure that these players fit into the format of your team.
Definitely.
Because how many times have we seen with Liverpool, they've bought players and they've never really come to the party?
Lately, I must say, Klopp was quite accurate with his...
It's also very important, Peter. If you have the same manager, like, let's say Alex Ferguson was 20-odd years in Manchester United.
Yeah, he builds a team.
You build a team in your image, and you know exactly who do you want to play where and how and what. If you're coming and take over and you already have players, and it's not really to your ideology.
That's right.
Or to your way of playing. So it's very hard to do it like this.
Because Brendan Rodgers, who was before Jurgen Klopp.
Yes.
He had players there that moved in when Klopp took over, and they didn't click. I mean, look at Mario. Mario, remember Mario Balotelli?
Balotelli was.
He was terrible.
He's not clicking anywhere for the last.
He's got an attitude.
One of the most talented players ever, but
he had an attitude, didn't he?
Same as Shaqiri. I think Shaqiri is not playing because of his attitude. Yeah. I'm almost sure because talent has got plenty. Attitude has got plenty too. So I think that's a problem. But let's stop here and let's do a little bit of music. And I don't want to bore you forever. And bore you the whole time. So let's put just a little bit of
the
this.
The world is populated with interesting people.
And then
people.
We're going to
go as Roy Parrott wants to introduce you to them. Roy chats to interesting people about what makes them tick. This is Roy Parrott and Friends.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you so much. So we're just going to come back to a little bit of business that, you know, that lately we're feeling like we actually missing something in South Africa. Yes, we know we've got, registered, according to statistics, we're supposed to have like 29 or 28% unemployment, which we are, I think, the second lowest, unemployment country in the world, after maybe Venezuela. I don't know. Close on 30%. That's what they register. My true feeling is, that we have over 40% unemployment. I mean, you can see how many unemployed people are in the streets. You can see our corners are, I mean, every street corner and every robot and every traffic light, there's someone sitting with a plastic bag or a beggar.
Yeah, that's not right. Most of the people that are unemployed in the country don't come from the metropolis, don't come from Joburg or from Durban. They come from the rural areas, and that's tens of millions of people
and
that
those
live there.
You're correct. You're correct.
That's
but what we see... What we see is the ones which are in the streets. I mean, we see the ones which are not working. We can see how many businesses, big businesses, are closing down.
Oh,
and I think the worst feel is where we are right now in my business, in our business. We feel it the most when you see people start selling their stuff. And lately, there's a lot of people that say, you know what? I've got my whole house that I'm selling because I'm leaving. And there's a mutual feeling that something bad is going to happen. They were talking about, number one, coalition. If a coalition will happen with the ANC and EFF, that will be quite that's going to be the road to hell, I think.
Yeah.
And
And but many people are feeling it in the hills and say, you know what? Why should I suffer? It's not anymore a free country where a person, and I'm irrespective of color. For my opinion, blacks are suffering even worse than white people. I mean, as much as the white people cry, maybe they've got the tools to cry louder, but black people are suffering even more than white people. And I don't know. I think traditionally vote for that same government, or even for a worse one. You telling me they don't know that the EFF will take more than the ANC? Well, I'm sure they know, but they still vote the EFF. I don't know why. I don't know what sort of mentality or what sort of ideas people have to vote to those parties that are all militant. Kind of militant lefties, socialist kind of promises. They're not even socialists. Socialists are supposed to give you something. They take. There was a cartoon I've seen the other day of South African politics, when you see the politicians sitting in their beautiful homes, enjoying the sun on the pool, and the rest of the people living in shacks. Don't have what to eat. So this is basically the picture of South Africa. But what we're seeing lately in the pawn shop, I mean, we are pawn brokers. And in the pawn shop, we see, and I think Liel can't, I'm sure Liel will agree with me. What we see there is, in the old days, we used to have somebody comes once a month, because everybody's in transition. So, you know, I'm selling my stuff, I'm living overseas. And used to give us the house contents, and used to sell his stuff, and we had always a motto to say, you know, if you want to leave the country, if you want to leave the country in a couple of months, come to me, I will give you a price for your car and whatever, so you can enjoy it to the last day. Just before you go to the airport, basically come to us and we'll give you the money. And that was our motto at the time, and still our motto. We still do that. But the idea was that we can help the guy so he doesn't have to rent a car, whatever. Lately, we have people like this every day. That's scary. Guys, it's scary. I don't know why. Yes, Ramaphosa said, white people, please don't leave South Africa. But Mr. Ramaphosa, you must do something better than just say, you must guarantee a lot of things, and people or talents will not leave the country. I've got two boys, and I guarantee you they will not stay here. I'm staying here in the meantime because I don't have an option. Moshe is staying here because they don't have an option. Peter is staying here because he doesn't have an option. But this is not the right way to keep your citizens without an option. You have to do something.
That's exactly it. Who is the ones that are leaving? Is the one from the top.
The one that can,
and most of them are from the top. Most of them.
Or the top. If you're taking my kids, they're young.
100%, but when someone that have a huge company and have 1,000 people working for him closes business and move overseas, the government is losing. The country is losing.
For sure, for sure. So government understands that white people are the ones that expose most of it. They expose the corruptions and whatever, and black people sitting back and see nothing.
Look at the brain drain over the many years.
Exactly.
With significant incidents in South African history with Sharpeville. Look how many people left the country after Sharpeville. Mm-hmm. And a few others, you know, when we had the riots, the student riots.
Yeah.
People got upset and left.
Yes.
And this has been going on, and we are now suffering, and we are feeling the effects of this brain drain where our top people are spread all over the world. Look at them in Australia, New Zealand.
America.
America, yes. And they are looking for us. They want us. They like South Africans, but South Africans are workers.
Yeah, if South Africa was any good, Charlize Theron and Trevor Noah would stay here. They will never go to America.
I think they've got really great talent, and I mean, look at Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah would have, even if he performs in full stadiums every day, he would never made the amount of money he makes today and the amount of fame he has today. I mean, he is the host of the
Daily
Show. This is a crazy, crazy show. And as much as I think is the most, I really don't like his opinions, especially anti-Semitic opinions that he has. I think he did good for himself. Yeah.
I was busy reading half his book.
Does he have a book?
He has a book.
I'm sure he didn't write it.
Born a Crime. Put it out a couple of years ago. Yeah. I started reading it when I was in England last year, but I didn't get to finish it. My daughter had the book at her house.
Yeah.
And I started reading it. A very interesting, you know, his background, but I didn't finish it, so I didn't get all his opinions. But I think they're reissuing. He's changed it slightly. I think he's brought it up to date, and people can now read him.
Let's go back to a subject. We were talking about economy, not about Trevor now.
Yeah, well, it's part of the subject because everybody.
Tell me, Roy, the last couple of weeks, the rand gained a lot of money on the dollar.
I don't know why. I got no idea.
7% even?
Yeah, it's a first of all, that's what the marks of volatile and crazy economy. I'm not an economist. I'm telling you now, but I haven't made, well, to my opinion, not to my opinion, to my balance sheet. I haven't made too many mistakes, meaning I could always predict more or less what's going to happen. Right now, when you live in a country and you got no hope, and the rand is going stronger, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I mean, this is not. But let us come back just now. I've got a nice something. I think you're going to really like. That comes from. Do you remember the Hair? Do you remember Hair?
Yeah, the musical.
Yeah, the musical Hair. Yeah. Yeah. So this one is, I'm sure you'll remember this one. This is Good Morning Starshine.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that song?
Yeah, of course.
How beautiful. So guys, enjoy. This is from Hair, and it gives you a very, very nice, enjoy the sun. Thank you for staying with us. The time is now 20 minutes to 10 o'clock, and WhatsApp numbers 0618951019. 34519, you're listening to Chai FM. This is Roy and Friends. And for that, we've got with us Liel Rimon, Peter Feldman, and Moshe Staugrad. It's absolutely my pleasure. So just to continue what we discussed and to your opinion, I'm appealing to the listeners, to your opinion. What's going to happen with South Africa? What's going to happen? I mean, it's a little bit scary when you have kids at school and you're still running and you can't leave because of financial problems and the rand devalues against the rest. I'd say young people don't have much of a choice. I think young people can't take the chance. Old people don't have a choice neither. They have to stay. So unless you're very, very rich, you don't want to stay in a country unless you're very rich. You don't want to stay in a country where when you're old, you won't be able to, the government will not be able to help you or your medical aid will not survive or
your funds run out.
Yeah. Well, people looking at the luxurious stuff that you can buy for cheaper here. I mean, if you compare it to somewhere else, I mean, if you go to UK, it's expensive. It's expensive. But if you go down into the trolley where you buy at the trolley that you buy at Checkers or Pick and Pay or wherever, you know what? It's cheaper there.
At least it's
on par with there.
Yeah.
And you can get a job. I mean, the worst job you're going to get there. And really, I'm talking the worst job. The minimum wage is about, if I'm mistaken, £7 or £8 an hour. And that's about £1,400 a month.
You know, it's interesting, Roy. Yeah. All the supermarkets, they employ, elderly woman at the cash slip,
yeah,
at the cash tray,
yeah,
and the tills, and they fast and it works and there's long queues,
yes,
and they get through very quickly.
Yes.
But have you noticed in South Africa how slow everything is?
Oof.
I mean, you were mentioning the other day, Liel, you had to go somewhere. I think it was one of the movie houses.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you had to wait. There were three people in the queue. You want to get popcorn. It took, what, 20 minutes?
But it's work ethic and...
work ethics, 100%.
And service...
but work ethics comes from the way you've been raised, your culture.
Yes. But Roy, even if you have good work ethics, if you don't have any service... How you say it?
Mentality?
Ethics.
But service.
Yeah.
Your job is to serve people.
Yeah.
When people come, they need to be served. You're not doing them a favor.
That's your job.
No,
but the idea, I mean, what I figured out in South Africa, when I came to South Africa first time, and I came from Israel, and Israelis are really hard workers.
Yes.
I mean, you can say many bad things about Israelis, but they're hard workers. When they come to work, they work. It's not a joke. They're there, and you know what? We had people that used to come at 6 o'clock in the morning and leave at 8 o'clock at night, and it was like a day in, day out.
Yep.
And all they had at my time when I was in Israel 31 years ago, there was only there was only a Shabbat. So Friday they work till
today they have just Friday, after lunchtime. So
today we've got the full Friday as well.
Thursday afternoon they already knock off. But then
25 people in Israel that I had employed, and I had quite a, I mean, it's quite a large employment in Israel to employ 25 people. I had 25 people, not staff. I'm talking about manufacturing staff, not secretaries and accountants, whatever. Mm-hmm. 25 people, the manufacturing staff. In South Africa, we made an inferior product, not as good as in Israel, with about 180 people. And we couldn't get the same quantity and the same quality. So, the labor here is not good. It's really, really not good. And we can't compare, we cannot compare to China, and we cannot compare to other places in the world, because they've got work ethics. And work ethics. And I remember my employees, when the day ends, no one asked them, but used to clean around them, used to swipe the floor around them, they used to clean the machine they worked on. It's amazing. There's no ethics.
There's pride in their work.
Yeah,
you know, Jack May, the person from Alibaba.
Yeah.
He introduced now a new thing called 996.
You work from
996.
Yeah, all right.
You work from 9 in the morning to 9 in the evening, 6 days a day.
Yeah. He said that you're supposed to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week.
That's right.
That's how you're supposed
996,
to.
996, yes.
996, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's actually amazing. South Africa is, there's a lot of fundamental problems, in South Africa, and,
that coming from mentality, right? Mentality is something that's very, very hard to change. I mean, it takes generations to change mentality. And if the mentality is not in the right place, it's very hard to change it.
Yeah, and mentality, but it starts from the top. I mean, you know, you get, all your life you thrive. And I'm looking at a guy that is today 50-year-old man that was under apartheid of the time, and that was 25 years ago. He was 25 years old. He was working under apartheid, and he said, "You know what? When we're going to take over, it's all going to be good." And 25 years later, he's working in a worse position. You can't really blame the poor guy. I mean, really, he's right now in a worse position. His medical used to be better than today. The only thing has got better than that time, that he can vote today and he can't vote later. And he still, what does he go? He goes and vote to the wrong place. He puts the wrong ticket in the voting poll. Yeah.
No, there's also,
and somebody's asking me if Roy, it's me. Yes, it is. It is me. It's Roy.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's me. I checked this morning.
Check in the mirror.
I checked this morning.
And he's not young. He's not a little boy.
Yeah. Yeah, ridiculous. You know,
do we have some WhatsApp coming in?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody's sending me like 6-7 different ones. I don't know. All right, have fun. You can carry on sending me emails, SMSs. But
we'll read it.
But there's nothing to read. I mean, sending me R-U-E-E. Yeah. Anyway, if there's something making sense, I will definitely read it. So what I'm trying to say is, and I don't want to put people down, but I want you just to open your mind and say, what are you going to do? Think forward. Think like a chess player. I do that. Every morning I wake up and I say, hold on a second. If I take this step, what will happen? What will happen? What is going to be? For my opinion, you can't just sit on the fence and look at, you have to take an active part in your own life. And when you wake up in the morning and say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to do, that's going to be my plan of the first. So write it on the wall. You know, tomorrow, today is the first day for the rest of your life. You know, who said that? Somebody clever said that. Yeah. Well, say it, Roy said it. Whatever. No, but it was somebody clever than me and said it.
Yeah, wrote something clever.
Yeah. Today is the first day for the rest of your life. Yeah, so somebody saying, yeah, hi guys, I think it's a lack of self-respect that makes people just want things for free and don't take whatever they do seriously. That's why they're, hold on
entitlement.
Yeah, let's,
yeah, That's why
they easily accept bribes, Moshe. So, all right, Moshe, listen, when it comes to that, I want to just pinpoint what you said. First of all, you're 100%, to my opinion, you're 100% right. What's happening in South Africa is the only country in the world that people get housing. But what happens with the housing is now they want titles for the houses. As soon as they get title for the house, they sell the house. It costs the government 80,000 rands to make a house, about 80,000 rands to make the house. Obviously with bribes and whatever, because the house itself costs like 30, but doesn't matter. So 80,000 rands to make the house. Then comes the person and sells it to someone else for 25,000. Why won't you give the 25,000? Get it over and done with. They're selling the house anyway. People that don't have money. You know, my grandfather said it, and I'm going to say it again. People that don't have money. If you take all the money from all the people in the world, and you give each and every one of them 1 million rand, 10 million rands for that matter.
Next day. The same share. Yeah, everybody going to get the same share of money.
Yeah, 10 million rands each, doesn't matter. The next day, you're going to have rich people and poor people. Yeah. This is life. This is life, guys. 100%. You know, in a concert, why those people are rich? You know, somebody called Karl Marx many years ago tried.
It's not going to be the same people.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same people. Yeah, it might be. Yeah, normally it is. You know, there's always rich people and poor people. That's what makes us thrive. That's what makes us want more. Because some people are better than the other when it comes to making money. Some people are better than the other when it comes to family. Some people are better than the other when it comes to playing soccer. Some people are better than the other when, I don't want to talk about sex. But, yeah, so that's mankind, yeah.
Making money, yeah.
It says, excellent. I was listening to the garden shows and every second question from listener is about legal cannabis.
Legal cannabis?
Have you discussed this? You know what? I would, but they're busy kicking us out of the studio.
That's a subject for another day.
That's interesting, actually. I'm interested.
I will. And for Liel. Oh, here you go. Have you discussed this in details for your listeners? And a question mark and for Liel. Baby, I'm going to discuss it with Liel. Well, Liel is, you know what? I guarantee you next week.
Excuse me?
Yeah?
What are you guys applying?
I'm applying that you like that particular green stuff. We're going out because Craig is going to really, shopping is going to kick us out. So,
now I'm going to prepare a lot of information about the
green stuff.
The green.
Yeah, all right. So what we got, yes, next week. It. You're right. Next week we have to do that because it's something crazy. I think before we're gonna do it, there's one song that I want to put it's really one of the best songs. I love it the most, and I play it a lot on this program, and I want you to enjoy that. This is Gilbert O'Sullivan with Nothing Rhymed. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today,
and happy Pesach.
Happy Pesach Kasher. Bye.